And welcome back to Coast. Next hour, we'll talk about animal communications, an amazing story. But when we come back in a moment, Dr. John Curtis, Howard Bloom face off. Two go in, one comes out. We will take your phone calls as well. Please tell Tom who you would like to direct your call to. We'll only have time for you to make a phone call to one of the two guests, and we'll space them out so everyone has an opportunity to talk to both Dr. John Curtis and Howard Bloom. And our Instapoll is up, where you can go to coasttocoastam.com and you can vote for who you think is winning this debate, and I'll share those results with you on the air. Welcome back with Howard Bloom, Dr. John Curtis. I'll ask him a few more questions, and then we'll let you with your calls jump in. And again, please restrict your call to one of the two individuals. And our Instapoll is up at coasttocoastam.com, where you can vote for who you think is winning this debate. There will be a prize given to the winner, of course, of a world tour and $200,000. No, I'm kidding. and John and Howard, we're going to keep both of your phone lines open at the same time. So in a moment, you'll both be able to jump in anytime you want. But let's start with you, Howard. My previous news guest, Dr. Stephen Cohen, who comes on quite often to talk about Russia and the United States and relations between the two, seems to think that Vladimir Putin is getting the short end of the stick. What do you think of that?
I think he's, I have tremendous respect for him, and I think he's utterly and completely wrong. Vladimir Putin has been asserting his right to be the leader all other leaders want to copy for the last 4 to 5 years, and he has been doing it extremely successfully with a floundering economy and almost nothing in the way of resources. And we, in contrast, are strong only because of our alliance with the Brits, the Europeans, and the Japanese. That alliance, the Western alliance, it's held up since approximately 1941. But Russia and China right now are trying to peel away our allies, and they are getting help from Donald Trump. Australia is under attack from the Chinese, who have bought up everything in sight, and who just succeeded in censoring a book revealing their attempt to manipulate the Australian government and the press. Italy is under attack from Russia. There was a 17% surprise win, a huge win compared to everybody's expectations, 10 days ago for the League. That is a party that has a deal with Putin's United Russia Party. China and Russia are trying to peel away allies one by one. Now, Trump is committed by his oath of office to defending democracy, and instead he fawns over dictators. He calls them strong leaders who are smart and tough, like Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Rodrigo Duterte, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and he lashes out at our friends, and he seems to ache for a dictatorship that will establish a Trump dynasty. Trump told donors in the ballroom at Mar-a-Lago 3 days ago, Saturday the 10th, about China's President Xi Jinping. He said, President Xi, you know that Xi has just been given an unlimited term. He can stay in life for the rest of his office. He can be dictator for life. And what does Donald Trump say about that? President Xi is a great gentleman. He's now president for life. He was able to do that, and I think it's great. Maybe we'll want to give that a shot someday. And he said this with an awe and a longing that I can't imitate over a dictatorship for life. He also regrets not prosecuting Hillary Clinton after the election. Now, that's the thinking of a tin pot dictator. That's what leads to a banana republic. It's the end of a democracy.
John Curtis, what do you think of Vladimir Putin? Is he getting the short end of the stick or not?
Well, George, all I can say is some people like to look up facts and some people like to make up facts, and Howard has just made up some very interesting facts. The Russians are always engaged in a propaganda war against the United States and many other countries. I mean, Howard's contention is that they swayed the election and Trump won because of Russian interference. Now, how is it that Hillary won 3 million more votes around popular votes than Trump did? And you have to believe, if you accept Howard's argument of this great influence that Putin has with regard to election interference, somehow he impacted the voters in Pennsylvania and Michigan, Wisconsin and Florida, but somehow didn't impact voters that are somehow impervious to Putin's influence on the East and West Coast. The whole argument is so utterly preposterous. Of course, there's influence that goes on by Russia, Does that mean that he impacted measurably the outcome of the election? Of course not.
Well, John, do you really think that Donald Trump would have come within 3 million votes of Hillary Clinton if it weren't for the 30,000 emails that he talked of over and over again and that motivated crowds when General Michael Flynn was trying to egg them on to have cries of both jail her, and hang her. That was a tremendous enthusiasm. It was all whipped up over 30,000 emails that the Russians, every expert knows, the Russians were the ones who leaked those to WikiLeaks. And if, in fact, the Russians weren't favoring Donald Trump, why were none of Donald Trump's emails leaked?
Howard, you're completely conflating the 30,000 emails. She deleted 30,000. She had paid a tech company to scrub them off her server because it showed pay-to-play at the State Department while she was Secretary of State, the millions and millions of dollars that she took in coercively into the Clinton Foundation. And then as soon as Trump became president, guess what she did? She closed the Clinton Global Initiative. They closed the books. They fired everybody. This woman is a criminal.
I
and Trump pointed it out. And Hillary was the one in the last debate basically that said, just a second. Hillary was the one that basically said, you're a puppet of Vladimir Putin. That was John Podesta's game plan, basically, to discredit Trump through the entire election. The Senate, the House Intelligence Committee has just come out and said there is no collusion. There's been no collusion found by Robert Mueller, the special counsel, in nearly a year of an investigation.
No, it's false. It's utterly and completely false. The collusion, all of this starts, the claim that there is no collusion is based on the idea that there was a corrupt political document that came from the Hillary Clinton campaign called the Steele Memo. Now, I don't know if you've read the Steele Memo. I've read it many, many times at this point. Christopher Steele was an MI5 agent. He was
MI6.
An MI5 agent.
MI6.
He was in charge of the Russia desk for 2 years at MI5. He had been a source for the FBI for a long time because they trusted him. He had contacts in Russia of a kind that almost nobody else has. He did not know, Christopher Steele, that he was compiling this document for Hillary Clinton. He simply went to his sources and found out everything he could about Donald Trump and the Russians. And frankly, it is terrifying, and it is completely in keeping with the Center for Strategic and International Studies book, The Kremlin Playbook. And the Center for Strategic and International Studies is closer to a Republican group than it is to a Democratic group. Anybody who doesn't take this document, the Steele document, seriously and want it checked out is frankly on the verge of treason. When the document was shown to the former Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, he said, oh my God, if this is true, it's treasonous. The most important thing he said was, oh my God, if this is true, meaning that unlike Donald Trump, who just speaks from his realm of fantasy and contradicts himself every day of the week, the Democrats, at least some of them, are still committed to fact-checking something that has utterly left the White House and Donald Trump behind. There's no commitment to truth in the Trump White House or in the Trump mind.
All right, let's go to the phones now and let us pick it up. We'll go to Joe in Las Vegas. He has a question for you, Howard Bloom. Go ahead, Joe.
Good evening, guys. This is a great show, George. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's astounding to me is from a year and 2 months now, that this conduct of Donald Trump, hour by hour, day by day, is this compulsion to lie about things big and things small. And it goes from one cabinet member to the next cabinet member to the next cabinet member. The point is that it's becoming a global embarrassment. There have been great men that have graced this White House, and I'm absolutely at the point of sheer shame.
That's for you, Howard Bloom.
Well, I agree with you, Joe, and you answered George's first question, which is why are we so despised around the world right now with Trump in charge? Let me give you some of the lies. Trump says that he's just given us the biggest tax cuts in American history. His tax cuts rank eighth in a tally of the nation's most aggressive tax cuts. He says we pay more tax than anybody else in the world. The United States pays below the average for an industrialized country. He says tax reform will cost me a fortune. No. Tax reform, the tax reform he enacted, will make him personally $20 million and will make the Trump family a billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. The tax reform will make the Trump family a billion dollars. Then there's terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped. A total and complete fabrication. The former director of national intelligence says it is not true. The Justice Department says it is not true. The FBI says that it is not true. And then there's, you know, this Russian thing with Trump and Russia is a made up story. And that's not true. And what John is saying, which is that the entire Russian investigation has been corrupted because the Democrats have somehow taken over the Justice Department, have somehow taken over the FBI, and they've based all of their Russian investigation on the Steele report, which is a poison document because it was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Read that document. As I said, not pay serious attention to that document and check out its allegations, some of which may not be true, is close to treason. It is selling your country out to Vladimir Putin.
John Curtis, you have the right to rebuttal.
Well, of course, the document, the so-called dossier, is utter garbage. It is a pack of lies. It was created first by the Republicans in order to discredit Trump. Then it was taken over and paid for by the Hillary campaign to discredit Trump. It's one lie after another. And the fact that Howard is citing this as the gospel is the best proof to anybody listening of how off the wall this has become. We know that there were FBI agents who were plotting, basically, in order to sabotage the Trump campaign. Those text messages have been out. They've been out in the public. Howard doesn't mention those. Of course, he doesn't want to talk about, you know, the kind of malfeasance that's gone on at the FBI and the wiretap. And he's talking about Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, you know, as being, you know, subject to these wiretaps based on this dossier or other, quote, information they have.
Those wiretaps were not based on the dossier. Carter Page came under FBI investigation.
It was based largely on the dossier. You
Carter
know
Page
that.
Came
now, why
under
are you denying the dossier? You said it was
Carter
a factual
Page,
document.
Let me just finish here. Carter Page.
The gloves are off, folks. The gloves are off.
Came under FBI scrutiny in 2013.
For nothing. For zero.
Victor Podyubny.
He was over in Russia doing some consulting
work.
Victor Carter
Podyubny
Page would have been charged had he done anything. He was never charged with anything.
All right, hold on, guys. We're going to go to our next question as you bounced each other around. Howard Bloom and Dr. John Curtis. By the way, the Instapoll is still rendering, so it should be up at coasttocoastam.com soon enough. I'll let you know, and you can go and vote. Let's go next to Doug in Chicago for Dr. John Curtis to begin. Go ahead, Douglas.
How you doing, George?
Great, Doug.
First, I'd like to say I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because I saw online that she was a pedophile. Mr. Curtis.
Yes.
Do you think radio is part of the media?
Well, I think there are a number of radio stations. George happens to have a very independent station that gives sides of the media. So there are certain radio stations, yes, that are connected with the major networks.
No, I'm just asking you in general. Because how many stations do you have that have been spewing out hatred radio, because when you get on the radio, you demonize the same group of people every day, day in, day out, for 30-some years, like Rush Limbaugh, and you're telling me that's not part of the media?
We're talking about, radio talk shows are not part of journalism, per se.
That's
they
opinion.
Are talk shows, and every talk show host that's worth his salt will tell you, I am not a journalist. I am a talk show host. I am an opinionator. I opine about things. So you have to make the distinction between radio talk shows, or even TV talk shows for that matter, and journalism. What I've said is that the First Amendment has been hijacked by the Democratic Party right now, and that there is, look, if a Harvard University study says that 93% of the reporting coming out is negative about Trump, when you have 50% basically voters that are for one side or for the other side, that tells you that there's not a fair shake being given in the mainstream media right now. And all of this about the, you know, Howard can't have it both ways. He can't, you know, talk about the great credibility of the dossier and then say, basically, oh, well, the dossier, you know, wasn't used in order to, you know, seek a FISA court wiretap, which is, you know, using the national security apparatus of the country,
John,
to be able
now.
To wiretap
the,
people in a political
both
campaign.
Simultaneously.
It's never been
they
done
did,
before. It's an outrageous abuse.
To obtain the FISA court orders because Carter Page had been under investigation in one form or another for years before the Steele memo was put out. It is not true to say that the only reason that there's an investigation because George Papadopoulos in the spring of 2016 was given information by the Russians about emails that the Russians had. And he spilled the beans in March when he was having a drunken God knows what with the lead ambassador from Australia. Now, the lead ambassador from Australia didn't take that conversation seriously until Hillary Clinton emails began to come out 2 months later. Then he called the Americans and told them of the conversation he'd had with George Papadopoulos.
Answer the question, why was Carter Page never charged with anything? Because it was not substantial.
We
it was
will
fake.
See what happens.
It was an infiltration of the Hillary
point.
Campaign.
I'm not encouraging
Obama's
that
national security apparatus.
Guys, you got to listen to each other.
Oops.
You're stepping all over each other.
Yeah, if you read the Kremlin playbook, the Kremlin doesn't recruit you and say, okay, now you have a badge, and from now on you can call yourself a Russian spy. They get you to help them thinking you're doing the best thing, thinking you're doing noble deeds, not thinking that you're cooperating with Russia. And Carter Page was being used for that form of seduction for a long time, and where in the world, I mean, I have this enormous quote here from this amazing Russian on his conversations with Carter Page. And he says, this is in 2013, years before the Steele memo could be used for a FISA court order. Podobny says about Carter Page, he wrote that he is sorry, he went to Moscow and forgot to check his inbox, but he wants to meet when he gets back. I think he's an idiot and forgot who I am. Plus, he writes me in Russian to practice the language. He flies to Moscow more often than I do. He got hooked on Gazprom, thinking that they would have a project he could rise up in. Maybe he can, I don't know, but it's obvious that he wants to earn lots of money. Now, here's the kicker. I did not indicate that the offer I was making came from the government, but this is the intelligence method, to cheat. How else to work with foreigners? Let's see if we can get this going down here. How else to work with foreigners? You promise a favor for a favor. You get the documents from him, and you tell him to go fornicate himself.
You shouldn't be reading something on the air right now, really, Howard.
But wait, this is...
You're wasting people's time right now.
This is ideal working method. That is the statement from Podobny, who was indicted for, along with two other Russians, for trying to recruit people.
Hold it right there, Howard, because we're coming up to the bottom break. The gloves are definitely off on this one, folks. We're still waiting for the Instapoll to render. I'll let you know as soon as it's up. We may have to switch it over to Facebook where you can vote because I want to get some results here. Two go in, one comes out. The way they're going at it with each other, two go in, none may come out. We'll find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our Instapoll is now up at coasttocoastam.com. It is in the carousel reel. It is the first little button there, so you don't have to wait for all the pictures to go through. And it's time to vote on two go in, one comes out, so I can have the results for everybody before we go off the air with this part of the program. Let's go back to your calls, but Instapoll is now up and running at coasttocoastam.com. You might have to hit your refresh button to pop it back up. Let's go to George, the guy from Pittsburgh in Martinez, California. George, welcome back. How have you been?
In my head is the ad I got in the mail today from InstaSafe.
Perfect.
So I got that. I mean, my only question is how do they keep from stealing it off your door? But anyway, this guy you got in there, Bloom, the problem with leftists, and I predicted Donald Trump would win last year in June before anybody else did. When I heard everybody, he doesn't want to run for president. He wouldn't want to be president. He's going to resign. And they were all in shock when he won. And this whole Russian thing, it's all BS. It's all, there's no collusion. A man like Donald Trump is not an idiot. He predicted 2.7% growth in GDP, was exactly right. Obama's estimates were always wrong. At one point, he was 0.3 negative. The problem with leftists is they have no, they never refer to the word facts. And one other thing, I took debate in high school. These guys need to stop going after each other and interrupting each other, not just because it's rude, but because it messes it up for the listener. And that really annoys me. By the way, I hope Tom feels better. Tell him to empty his inbox when he's done. But this guy, Bloom, they have done, the leftists have attacked under Obama. They spent millions to attack Romney. Before that, we had 8 years of calling George Bush stupid. And they never attacked Trump before he ran for president. And I turn on the news at 11 o'clock in the morning on KFDK, listen to Rush. I listen to you at night. And the newscast starts off with an anti-Trump attack because there's no objectivity in the national media. And to say that radio is not part of the media is absolutely ridiculous. You have Westwood One, you used to have Mutual, ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS. You name it. There's lots of radio networks out there.
There sure are. All right, let's get their reaction, George, starting with you, Howard Bloom, because you're the one he's going after.
Well, it's an interesting point of view. I try to be extremely factual. My book, The Muhammad Code, How It Is a Prophet Brought You ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram, has 1,930 endnotes, and most of those endnotes contain 5 references each. Some people have called it not just the best book they've ever read, research book they've ever read on Islam, but the best research book they've ever read. And I think John also, I've read a lot of his columns by now, and he goes after facts and is very precise in citing them. I'm a little disturbed by not getting the source of his North Korean idea that the Russians and the Chinese have told Kim Jong-un he's on his own without sourcing. I can't be sure. I mean, that doesn't sound right to me. So it is very useful to have your facts in front of you. It is very useful to double check. And in this age where the serial lie is the information source of the day, it is particularly important to reinforce the idea of fact checking. John Kelly, if you are secretary or if you are working for the president, and you recall something that a Florida congressperson said, check your facts before you go out on stage, give a fantasy version that then is compared to the tape, and the tape proves that what you said is untrue. For a military man to do that, a military men are some of the most educated, most civic-minded people I've ever met in my life, committed to things like truth and fact-checking. For a military man to go so far off the mark and say something that is so radically untrue is just an indication of the extent to which serial lying is perverting the American system.
All right, let's go back to John Curtis now, and then we'll go to some more callers as the clock is ticking. And don't forget to vote for who you think is winning this debate by going to coasttocoastam.com at our Insta poll. It is the first button in the carousel, so you can get there quickly. John, go ahead.
George, I want to take great exception to the professor that came on that said that, you know, that somehow there's no evidence. The evidence is so obvious that the poisoning happened through Russian sources. Even one of these scientists that developed the VX-type nerve agent that was used, essentially the same nerve agent that was used to kill Kim Jong-un's half-brother in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, earlier in the year, and the agent, the polonium-210 that killed Litvinenko, in another former Russian spy.
Oh, yeah, he died horribly, didn't he?
A horrible death, basically, 6 or 7 years ago. I said this was traced basically to a Russian nuclear facility. This is so obvious, and the fact that Trump, unlike Howard, who is suggesting that Trump doesn't get along with our allies, he's standing 100% behind Theresa May in Great Britain, and there's zero evidence that somehow he's colluding or somehow in bed with the Russians. All these citations and reading reports of this and that, none of these people have been charged. And the only people charged by Robert Mueller have zero to do with the mandate of the special counsel, which is to really investigate whether there was collusion between the Trump campaign. Talks about the 30,000 emails. Why wasn't Hillary charged with obstruction of justice for deleting 33,000 emails off her server? If you did it, or Howard did it, or I did it, we would be charged with it. It wouldn't be charged. It would be conviction for obstruction of justice anytime you toss out a hard drive or you destroy evidence. So, George, we're looking at a picture right now where we're so partisan in our analysis today, and Howard has admitted to being a partisan. I am not a partisan. I go where the facts take me. I write 30 columns a month on major news stories. I'm not writing on the esoteric or the conspiracies. I'm writing on factual-based information. As
well,
far
Don,
as the sources,
let's remember,
I also
go where the facts take
me. Yeah, well, what do you write about, Howard? Do you write about factual news stories?
Yes.
All right, guys, we're going to take another question, but the polling is beginning to roll in.
Well, can I just say
hold on, hold on for 1 second, Howard. Hold on. I want to get these results out.
Okay.
As of right now, those who think Dr. John Curtis is winning this debate, 79%. Those who believe Howard Bloom is winning the debate, 18%. Howard, you're getting slaughtered.
Amazing. Look, there's an advantage to having a country. There's an advantage to having a country in which several points of view can be pursued simultaneously. The way that John and I have pursued different points of view on some of these questions. It is that if one person's like crossing a street with the person that you love, you hold hands, one of you looks to the left, the other one looks to the right. Between you, you get a picture of whether you're safe walking across the street or whether there's traffic coming. It is very useful to have a Democratic Party and a Republican Party. It is very useful to have conservatives and liberals. Connor Lamb, who apparently won in Pennsylvania in the 18th district yesterday, said something in his speech last night to the people who have supported him. It was, our job in Congress is to attack problems, not each other. And in a conversation like this, as much as the two of us, John and I, may disagree, we are both performing a service, and we are both people who are very, very committed to facts and truth.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. For you, Howard, to begin. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you, George,
sure,
for taking my call.
This question
is for Howard. I think that the problem with elections nowadays is that we have politicians with agendas and not statesmen, stateswomen with vision. I'm reminded of Abraham Lincoln, who entered the presidency with the commitment in his first term to end slavery and human trafficking, and he committed to his wife, interestingly enough, Mary Todd Lincoln, that in his second term, he would support an amendment that would bring about women's suffrage, the right to vote. And he opposed banking cartels running the Treasury and central banking. He was a true common man. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have an Abraham Lincoln who wasn't a billionaire or a trillionaire or even a millionaire. He was a licensed bartender who became president of the United States.
He and a railroad lawyer.
He was a common man. And so my question is toward Howard. I think that we no longer have statesmen, stateswomen. We have politicians with petty agendas. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. We need people who have grand visions for the United States. Donald Trump right now, unfortunately, John will disagree with me on this, but Donald Trump says make America great again. No, Donald Trump is making America number three in the world. Why? Because Donald Trump has the instincts of a schoolyard bully. And when he got out into the schoolyard of international politics, he very rapidly realized there are two bullies bigger than he is. One is Vladimir Putin, and the other one is Xi Jinping. And whenever he approaches these men, he approaches them as a shriveled little guy who is giving all of his respect to them, who is bowing and scraping before them. And the world is picking up on that. We need people who have visions for democracy. I mean, his vision is how to turn America into
a lifelong dictatorship like the one that Xi Jinping is instituting right now in China. No, we need people who see the brilliance of democracy, who see the incredible future that democracy can bring, who see the limitations of single-party states with lifelong dictators.
All right, next, let's go for Keith in Jacksonville, Florida. He's got a question for you, John Curtis. Go ahead, Keith.
Hi, George. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
Back in 2008, I had the idea to put a 25% tariff on everything from China, and I did the figuring on how many dollars worth of imports, and if we would abolish the gasoline and diesel tax, it would more than pay for that. And so just a portion of that would pay for a smaller tariff. And what do you think of that, John?
So no, I think I'm generally, first of all, I'm generally opposed to tariffs. I think Trump uses them really mainly to negotiate more favorable terms for the U.S. But I think essentially the economy is really not in great shape right now, the world economy. And I think anything, you know, with the Federal Reserve Board, you know, hiking rates at a rate that the economy can't handle, potentially, you know, driving the stock market into a very serious correction, which we haven't yet seen, but it's been, you know, melting down for the last couple of weeks. I think it's tariff approach, I think, goes in exactly the wrong direction. I think what we need to do is open markets up and create more free trade, not less of it. And as Trump has said, have smart agreements. I really think that the partisan view of Donald Trump being some kind of a Russian agent or a incompetent boob or a mentally ill person is so outrageous and so disgraceful that people can talk about an elected U.S. president in these terms just tells you what the prior caller said is how disgraceful the body politic has become to be so partisan and not look at what the good is. I'd just like to ask Howard what he thinks Trump has done that's well. I mean, certainly itemized all of his failures. What does he think Trump has done well?
If anything, Howard, go ahead.
Yes, that's an extremely good question. I mean, I wanted to ask you, Trump is the great deal maker, you said, and can you name me three Trump great deals?
Well, I mean, you take a look at, you know, you may not like the tax code, and who knows, the economy may not like it either. I'm not happy with certain elements of it, but I do know that when you talk about the biggest tax cut, he wasn't referring to individual tax cuts. He was referring to corporate tax cuts. So it's more distortion. We went from a 35% rate to a 21% rate. And that is an attempt to repatriate money into the United States and encourage more domestic manufacturing. Whether that works or not, whether the tariffs of any kind work or not, who knows? Probably not.
Well, on the heels of that, John and Howard, the Toys R Us says they're going to close 700 stores. It'll idle 30,000 people.
And that's definitely a bad sign. So the tax code, okay, let's grant that as an amazing deal. Because remember, Donald Trump told us, I will make so many great deals for you that you will get tired of great deals. Is there another great deal you can
think
of?
Yes, there is a great deal. What about the fact that he's brought a menacing dictator threatening to hit the United States with nuclear weapons?
On that one, we're being
What about
kind.
That one that he's brought
no,
him to
on
the table
one,
to potentially
on
negotiate
one,
out his nukes? And you don't believe that it's going to happen.
The Koreans have been negotiating with us. Yes, maybe it will, and I hope it works out well because your welfare and my welfare and George's welfare depend on it.
All right, Howard and John, we've only got about a minute and a half left. I'm going to give you, John Curtis, 30 seconds just to wrap things up for you, and then you, Howard Bloom, 30 seconds, then I'm going to interrupt you. Go ahead, John.
Well, George, this is what I want the folks out there to know, that we have witnessed the greatest hijacking in U.S. history of the national security apparatus under President Barack Obama. We have witnessed the campaign of Hillary Rodham Clinton infiltrate not only the Democratic National Committee to sabotage Bernie Sanders' campaign, but we've witnessed it using the FISA court, the FBI, the Justice Department, all of these coveted institutions of ours.
Okay, that's your 30 seconds, John. That's your 30 seconds. Howard, you've got 30, go.
Unfortunately, this is a wildly illusory point of view. It is almost hallucinogenic that John is promoting, and that I find unusual for a person who normally sticks to facts. But again, there is a tremendous value in having people with opposite points of view debate and discuss, because ultimately it goes back to what one of the callers was talking about, which is statesmanship and the ability to bring people together. And we can't bring people together unless we see the points that we have.
Well, let me say, two went in, one came out, and the one that apparently came out is John Curtis, with 77% saying he won this debate. Howard Bloom had 20%. We'll be back.